This morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 to 11. Please feel free to follow me on the inside of your bulletin. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know when we were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given all the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another's prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. May God bless the reading of his word.
And Father, every time we open your word, we don't want the words to just leave us as we are. We want to become more like you. We want to hear your voice speaking into our hearts and into our minds, and for us to be captivated by what you are saying to us. I pray that is the case today as we look to 1 Corinthians 12. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Janet and I have just had a wonderful holiday. You'll notice Janet's not here today. She has a bit of a head cold that sort of... She's had it, been struggling with it for a week or so, but then last night it sort of came on a bit stronger. So other than that, we were well through the whole holidays and we had had a wonderful time. It really was one of those once-in-a-lifetime holidays, similar to the one we had 2 years ago. So I'm not sure what you do with that, once-in-a-lifetime holidays twice, but I do have to say, look, in all seriousness, we recognise that we have been incredibly blessed to have had that opportunity afforded us, and Janet and I don't, we certainly never take that lightly. We recognise it really was one of those rich experiences that God's given to us. The one negative that I would say, though, in having a holidays that is predominantly based in the United States and also in Canada, is that it is really, really hard to get a good cup of coffee. It is a nightmare. They're not too bad at making brewed coffee. Actually, they make a really nice brewed coffee, but you try and get a cappuccino or a flat white, and it is mission impossible. They have no idea. And then if you get one from somewhere like Starbucks, it costs you like $8, $9. You think, oh boy, it better be a good one. And so you can imagine how depressed we were when you pay $8 or $9 and it's not very good. So you can imagine that as we approached home, I was so excited at the prospect of arriving back in Australia, and even more than that, getting home to my coffee machine. It was good to catch up with the family as well, but to get home and there is my coffee machine, and if you'll allow me just to indulge for a minute, I want to tell you a little bit about my coffee machine, because I figured that's an important part of today. My coffee machine is a Breville Nespresso machine. It was bought for me by my wife Christmas nearly 2 years ago. My wife Jenna bought me this coffee machine, and it is absolutely amazing. And since she bought me that beautiful present of this Nespresso coffee machine, Every morning, I get out of bed first, even in winter's days when the floor's cold, and I make my way downstairs to make two coffees, one for Janet and one for me. It's a great way of starting the day. And then in the evenings, I often go into the kitchen and I'll make two coffees, one for Janet and one for me, usually decaf, so we can sit down and enjoy coffee together. And then also it's very much like this, when visitors come over, Janet will inevitably ask our guests, would you like a cup of coffee? And then she gives me that look and I have to go in and make coffee. So there's something not quite right in this picture. I don't know whether you can pick it up. Janet buys me a coffee machine. It's my present, my gift, yet I'm getting out of bed early in the morning to make her a coffee. She bought me a coffee machine, and at night, I'm the one making the coffee for her to have a coffee at night. We have guests coming over, and I'm the one making the coffee. Anyone see a problem here at all? The only problem is I'm slow on the pickup. Exactly how all this has happened. So here it is. Janet says, Merry Christmas, dear. And I'm ending up making the coffee. But I do have to say that as much as I've painted that picture, it's also not quite the way it has been pictured. Even though it's not the first time she's done it, she actually gave me a coffee machine about 3 or 4 years ago as well, and the same system was happening there. But like I say, I don't know that I've painted an accurate picture. Because in truth, a coffee machine, and this Breville Nespresso coffee machine that I have is awesome. It is a gift that I really wanted. That's the truth of the gift that I was given. The other truth of the gift is I absolutely love making coffee. I don't know whether you've noticed, we've got a coffee machine here in the church. And if, at every opportunity, I'll push out everyone else. You know, there's these Laurens and others who try and take over and think that they can make coffees. I push them out of the kitchen, say, no, over to me. I want to make some coffee. I love making coffee. And so that's the reality as well. And thirdly, I think the other thing that I would say is, I think it's a rich experience for Janet and I to just spend time together, having a cup of coffee together as well. And so as I paint all that picture, I wonder whether that's a really good segue into this series we're about to do about spiritual gifts. Because as we look at spiritual gifts, this is one of those topics that people often get all confused with and struggle with and battle with, and they look at the list on the board at the back there. And there's probably some on the back wall that you go, yeah, I'm comfortable with that one. You know, I don't mind administration, or I don't mind wisdom or helps. But there's probably some others there you go, oh, I don't know that I'm quite as confident with maybe being an apostle or speaking in tongues. And so all of a sudden, this gift thing has become complicated. I just want to start today, and I want to start this series by just simply saying, just think of it like a coffee machine. What God has done is he's given us this gift. He says, here you go, here is this gift for you. And then what he wants us to do is to use that gift for his glorification. It's for him and it's for us. It's for those moments when we spend time together with our God in service for our God. That's what spiritual gifts are. They're not for our glorification, but we love working within our gifts, and they're for God's glorification. That's what we're talking about as we look at these spiritual gifts today. A gift given by God to us. It's a gift for him. It's a gift for us so that we can work together to fulfill his purposes. So when we work within our giftings, our God-given gifts, it will put a smile on our face because we love using our gifts. It'll put a smile on God's face because he loves working with us within our giftings. And it'll put a smile on the face of the church because people are doing what they should be doing. One of the things that I often do, when I run a spiritual gift seminar, one of the very first questions I ask in a seminar that I run is this: what is the greatest need in the Christian church today? I want you to think about it. I don't want an answer from you today, but I want you to think about it. What do you think is the greatest need in the Christian church today? Not just Morisset Baptist Church, but within the Christian church. Think about that for a few moments. And most times, I'm not saying always, but most times when I get answers back from people, there will be people who will say things like, I think the greatest need in the Christian church today is prayer. We should have more prayer in our church. Usually the person who answers that way, you know what their spiritual gift is? Prayer or something related to prayer. Or if you ask the same as somebody else, they will say, I think the greatest need in the church today is that we proclaim the message of Jesus out into the world. Guess what? They've probably got the gift of evangelism or something similar. It's not a complicated thing, this spiritual gift. God has already placed within us a passion for how we can serve Him. Or somebody will say, if it's not reaching the lost, is there others who will say the greatest need is that people have a greater understanding of the Bible? Then they've probably got the gift of discipleship. As I said, on a spiritual gift list, there will be things that you won't get particularly excited about. But there will always be others that just touch your heart and you go, yes, that's what I want to be a part of. And part of us as a church is that's what we want within every believer. That thing that just gets you excited and you want to be a part of that. So this series, as I said, is all about your coffee machine. It's all about your coffee machine, your God-given gift. A gift that is for God and for you working together. So let's look at today's passage. As we look at this passage today in 1 Corinthians, we have to understand that almost anywhere you look in 1 Corinthians, we have to understand that the Corinthians is really a letter written by Paul to the church because Paul's pretty grumpy with the church. He's pretty grumpy with the church because they're getting a lot wrong. You know, there's division in the church, there's immorality in the church, they are messing up things like communion, they really are underestimating who Jesus is in their salvation. So the church is struggling with a lot of things, but we have to be a little bit understanding of the Corinthian church. They were a young church, and they didn't know a lot of these things. So Paul is just trying to direct them in the right sort of path, and that's what this passage is all about. And we see that in this particular part of the the letter, it's about spiritual gifts, and once again, it's no different. They were struggling with an understanding of spiritual gifts, and so Paul is endeavouring to put that straight. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers. I don't want you to be ignorant, or as we see there in the bulletin, uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. As young Christians, the Corinthians really didn't know what they'd received from the Holy Spirit. They'd been told they got the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what are you supposed to do with that? You ever had one of those gifts where you receive a gift and you have, you know, you smile and you say, thanks very much, but you're not really sure what you're supposed to do with it? You're not sure how you're supposed to use it? And I think that's what it was like for the Corinthian church. They had the gift of the Holy Spirit. They knew that. They knew the Holy Spirit would help them. But how, they weren't really sure about. And so Paul is endeavouring to instruct them about the way in which the Holy Spirit could work in their lives. He's wanting them to grasp the magnitude and the wonder of what it was to have the Holy Spirit living in their lives. And to not only that, but understand what spiritual gifts were. You know, as Paul wrote those words to the Corinthians, we can understand why they were uninformed. We can understand why you might consider them ignorant. But we probably can't use the same excuse for us today, though, can we? Like, for many of us, we've sat in Christian churches most of our lives. For most of our lives, we have known the wonder of Jesus Christ having saved us. And so for us, we should be very confident in our knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is and the way in which he has gifted us to serve him. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? I don't mean you have to know them by name. But do you know how the Holy Spirit has gifted you? And are you living in the fullness of that gift? Are you working in the fullness of that gift? If we're struggling to answer that, then we probably need to go on a bit of a journey to find out what our giftings are. Sadly, I think one of the things that's unfolded is, particularly within evangelical churches, we've kind of, whenever we see the word spiritual or a spiritual gift or Holy Spirit, we almost get a bit of a shiver up and we haven't really embraced this incredible gift that we have. And we need to make sure that we are making the most of that. Paul said he doesn't want us to be uninformed, and we need to be informed. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. If you are anything like me, then I look at those two verses and I go, well, I'm not sure why they quite fit here in this passage. They seem to be a bit left field. They don't seem to really fit this topic very well today. But Paul feels as though it really needed to be said. What Paul is actually saying is what we're talking about here today are spiritual gifts, and not everyone who is in the church is going to get a spiritual gift. You go, hang on a second, you just said that everyone who is born of Jesus Christ will have spiritual gifts, and that's true. But not everyone in the church will have spiritual gifts, because there are people in the church who don't know Jesus as Lord. And so therefore, the possession of spiritual gifts is not theirs. And so what was happening within the Corinthian church is there were people who were trying to make up that they had spiritual gifts, but then they were saying things like, Jesus be cursed, or Jesus isn't quite the Saviour we thought he was. And Paul's putting it straight. If people are saying Jesus is less than who he is, then you can rest assured that they're not speaking on behalf of the Spirit of God. Because only someone who says Jesus is Lord possesses spiritual gifts, is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, this conversation I'm having with you, this truth, really only applies to those who know Jesus as Lord. So now Paul says, now that all of that's cleared up, now that you know that I'm talking to born-again Christians, I am talking about the Spirit of God. And we read in verses 4 and 6 what he's talking about. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. You see, whenever we have this chat about spiritual gifts, we always have to remember that it is always about serving God. It's never about our glorification. We often think it's about our glorification, but it never is. There should never be a reason for us to get all puffed up and says, you know which gift I've got? Look at that list. I probably got 3 or 4 on that list. There's no room for us to be puffed up about our gifts, because they are given from God. Paul is saying, you may notice that we may put them in a box, and you may have a gifting that is in one of those boxes that is listed up there. But that doesn't mean it will manifest itself in the same way. I think Paul and Barnabas would both say that they had the gift of apostleship. Yet you'd never get two men who were more different the way in which they expressed it. Paul was forthright, straight to the point, often harsh. Don't think he would have been a pleasant man to be around sometimes. Barnabas, on the other hand, was known for his encouragement. Yet both had the same gift. So labels aren't the point. Over the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear me say that quite a lot. Labels aren't the point. Whenever we get caught up with the label, then we're missing the key point. Labels are not the point. Yes, we need to have some idea about what the label is, but we really need to allow the Spirit of God to work in us and through us. Paul and Barnabas had the same gift, had the same Spirit, but had different roles. And there we are. That's where it is for us as well. Different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different outworkings, but the same Spirit. Now to each one, we see in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are always for the good, for God's good, and for the good of the church. They are never divisive, and they are never self-seeking. That doesn't mean that if someone is using their gifts that there might be others who will get offended by it. That can happen. But ultimately, it's always going to be for good. The use of Holy Spirit's giftings should never be moments which bring division or disagreement. They should, if they're causing division within the church, then something's wrong in the way in which the person is using it. Something is seriously wrong. And as usually the case, when there is dispute or disagreement within the church, people will say, I have a right to say it because I have spiritual gifts. We need to correct people in that because it is never for self-glorification. So when we come to verses 8 to 11, what I want to highlight as we look to these verses, and in some ways it's probably the verses that you wanted me to get to fairly quickly today, but when we get to verses 8 and 11, I just want to say to you that those verses are just for illustrative purposes. That's what Paul's done here today. He hasn't sat down and spent hours and days and weeks emphasizing, okay, I wonder which spiritual gifts I'm actually going to put in this list, because they're going to be for the church for all time, so therefore I have to carefully choose them. I don't think that's the case. He really has got them there purely for illustrative purposes. He talks about in this message, messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues. But it is just a random list. Paul could literally have put any spiritual gifts in here, and it still would have fulfilled the same purpose that he had. They are for illustrative purposes. The point that Paul wants the Corinthians church to take out of this is just to remember verse 11. Verse 11 is actually the key verse, and it's the verse that all of us should take away from today. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. It's all about the Holy Spirit and what he does with the gifts. The only thing I'm really not happy about in verse 11, particularly with the way in which the NIV has written it, in regards to the Holy Spirit, he has a little H for he. I really think it needs to be a big capital H to give it authority and to give it the truth that it is. When we read verse 11, really what we should be reading, it is he, capital H, God Almighty, the God who saved us through Jesus Christ. It is he, that the God who, the Spirit of that God who gives us our gifts. And he determines the gifts we get. If we want a theology about spiritual gifts, then in a nutshell, verse 11 is it. God gives the gifts as he determines, and we just need to work in the fullness of the gifts that he has given to us. It's not that complicated, really. It's pretty straightforward. And when we work within our giftings, then we have a smile on our face. God has a smile on his face. And the church is really humming, because people are doing the things they're called to do. Let's pray together. Father, as we have looked at this passage today, it's easy for us to go straight to the labels. But when we do that, we really do miss out on some of the real beauty about spiritual gifts. Father, not one of us has deserved to be blessed in the way we are with the spiritual gifts that you bestow on us. Not one of us deserved to be saved through the grace of Jesus Christ. And yet, Father, that's a gift you've given to us. You've given to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has bestowed on us gifts. And now, Father, we just get this wonderful privilege to work in the fullness of them. Father, would you help us not to focus on labels, but to focus on the way in which we can use these gifts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.